Hi, welcome to the 13th Warehouse. I'm Vicky.
And I'm Kim.
And this is Vicky filling in for Doug with the episode credits for Season 3, Episode 13, The Greatest Gift. Guest cast, Charles Malik Whitfield as Raymond, Yeva Lucas as Sandra, Susan Hogan returns as Janine Baring, and Roger Rees returns as James McPherson. Created by Brent Mote and Jane Espenson, teleplay by John Paul Nickel, story by Mike Johnson and John Paul Nickel, executive story editor Derek A. Hughes, directed by Jack Kenny. Original air date, December 6, 2011.
Just one normal Christmas, huh? Is that too much to ask?
Oh, I am having a normal Christmas, all right? My dad is waiting for me to decorate the tree this year, and I'm not missing it.
And now, the episode quick cut. Background music is We Wish You a Merry Christmas by Twin Musicom at twinmusicom.org.
In this episode, we ask the question, would it be a wonderful life if Pete did not exist? The answer is no, it wouldn't, at least for the warehouse crew. When Pete goes into the Isle of Noel to return Rudolph's nose, he accidentally knocks over and then picks up Philip Van Dorn Stern's upholstery brush, which throws him into an alternate timeline where he does not exist. Artie is in prison for trying to assassinate the president. Micah, the Secret Service agent who arrested Artie, has lost her father. Claudia is in a psychiatric hospital. McPherson is in charge of the warehouse. Pete realizes that no one knows him at all, and even Lena tells him he has no aura. He thinks of all people he can get Micah to believe him. She does not, but he piques her curiosity enough to get her to bring him to see Artie in prison. Artie, who is more easily convinced, determines that Pete touched Philip Van Dornstein's upholstery brush. Pete's existence has been erased. Mrs. Frederick, who overheard one of Pete's outbursts earlier, signs a form to have Artie released to Micah for 24 hours. Next, they have to find Claudia. Claudia also, not hard to convince, agrees to help them. But McPherson and his agents are onto them and are not going to make this easy. Once in the warehouse, Pete and Micah head for the Isle of Noel to find the brush while Artie and Claudia hack the server to find out how to use the brush to reverse things, only to find the brush is missing from inventory. Pete and Micah find the entire Isle of Noel missing, but they are able to reach Artie and Claudia before they are bronzed. The search for the brush is on. Knowing McPherson will probably try to destroy it to make this timeline permanent, they go to the Lehman Fornax to find McPherson trying to destroy everything from the Isle of Noel because he doesn't know which artifact affected Pete. Artie is able to throw the brush toward Pete before McPherson breaks the necklace that is protecting Artie from death. Pete catches it in midair while falling into the Fornax, and upon touching it again, brings the real timeline back.
Intertwined, as in a nutball follows me home from a bar, I release a terrorist from prison, and then what? I lose my job?
Okay, so we're back for Season 3, Episode 13, The Greatest Gift. And the artifact of the week from Wiki Warehouse is Philip Van Dorn Stern's upholstery brush. When touched, it sends people to an alternate reality, where they were never born. Similar to Stern's story, The Greatest Gift, which inspired the movie It's a Wonderful Life, it literally sweeps your life away.
Only the person affected will remember anything about their previous existence. Once bonded to a person, it won't work for anyone unless it is touched again, which reverses the effect.
I liked this episode much better than the other Christmas episode.
I did too.
I mean, I liked the part in the other episode where Claudia finds Artie's father, but the other part with the Santa Claus, I couldn't stand. And plus, there was only one storyline going on.
Yes, I liked this one.
Claudia, again, tries to give Artie a jacket for Christmas.
Must be her thing.
I know. She's always trying to dress him. And she gets the same reaction that she got last Christmas when she tried to give Artie the black jacket, which he does wear. She wants him to wear it because he's going to meet Vanessa in Las Vegas. But Artie doesn't want to go to Las Vegas anymore because his father found out he's going and invited himself. And then Hugo Miller somehow found out and invited himself too.
Yeah, that was too funny.
Artie's trying to find somewhere to spend Christmas other than Las Vegas.
I know this may sound strange to you, but I think you're under the influence of what we call an artifact.
Have you come into contact with anything unusual? Maybe a family
heirloom? No, no! I haven't been whammied. You have! Have you noticed the smell of fudge when there is no fudge?
So once everything changes, McPherson is back in charge of the warehouse. And apparently he's up to the same thing he was up to in our timeline.
Yes.
It's just that the Regents and Mrs. Frederick don't know it. And I just found it funny when Pete finds the new agents and McPherson shows up. How the new agents and McPherson keep trying to explain artifacts to him. Did you touch anything?
Yeah.
There are things called artifacts.
Yeah, that was funny.
I did like the way they based all the changes in the timeline on things that we've already seen instead of just making up random things.
Right, yeah.
Because Artie's in jail for trying to assassinate the president, which was the first episode.
Yes.
Pete wasn't there to intervene with Artie's attempt to bag the Bloodstone, so it was assumed that Artie was there to assassinate the president. And Micah, who was there without Pete, arrested him. And so she never became a warehouse agent.
Yes.
And then Micah's father is dead because, as Artie says, mending their relationship could have had a positive effect on his health. But originally, the first time I watched it, I thought he was dead because the book killed him because Pete and Micah weren't there to help him.
Right, but they never existed for the book to even do that.
Right. If Pete didn't exist, Micah wouldn't have been a warehouse agent and McPherson wouldn't have been after them. Mm-hmm. So he wouldn't have sent the book to Micah's father.
Yeah, I just thought he was ill health and died.
Yeah, but originally when she said her father died, or when somebody said her mother, I think, said her father died, I said, oh, well, that was because they didn't save him with the book. But if they weren't warehouse agents, McPherson wasn't after them, he wouldn't have sent the book to her father anyway.
Right.
Anyway, no one has ever broken into Warehouse 13.
Well, that's not exactly true. How well do you remember Claudia Donovan?
Claudia's still in the hospital because Artie's in jail and she can't get to him there.
Yeah, that was funny. But my thing was, how was she really that ready to know that Artie was going to knock on the door? When he came through the door, she closed it and had it rigged.
I don't know if she was just ready for anything. I'm not sure.
Maybe it was an escape plan at one particular point, I guess.
I wasn't quite sure about that. But, well, whatever she was ready for, she sure was ready.
Now, I think you guys should wait out here. You don't want to frighten the poor girl. And she may remember me. So.
Hello? Claudia Donovan? Hello? Claudia? Hello? Claudia?
Hello, Professor.
Claudia.
I was really hoping you'd come visit me someday. Holidays.
What made me laugh before they went into the room, you know, Artie's so worried. He goes, well, you know, we don't want to scare the poor girl. I'll go in because she might remember me. He walks into this room that is totally dedicated to him.
Not in a good way.
Right.
What do you want me to do?
Break into a large depository filled with mystical artifacts located in the South Dakota Badlands?
Warehouse 13? I've been trying to hack into that place for years. One condition.
Name it.
When we're done, I get him.
Deal.
Hey!
Relax. She shocks you all the time. It's your thing.
So, until the second half of the episode, I think the new timeline, Micah, is just totally annoying.
Yeah. Because Micah always has to try to make sense of stuff, and nothing was making sense for her.
I just mean, she seemed, like, kind of goofy. Like, I don't know. You could tell she doesn't have any friends, because when Pete brings up she should be surrounded at Christmas people who love her, her only example was her secretary who gave her a pen, which the secretary didn't even give her.
Right.
You know, so it sounds like she has no friends. And there was a point at the prison when Pete and Artie were talking about saving the world many times, and she laughed like, you? You know, like she was in a schoolyard almost. She was just like really goofy and nerdy, I think. Childish.
Yeah, to a certain degree.
People love me.
Who?
People. You? Save the world. Breaking out two inmates in one day really doesn't sound like me.
But her man wasn't involved either.
I wondered about that too. If he was even in this timeline.
Yeah. I do have a question for you. Was that Lena's boyfriend? Raymond?
Oh, I don't know.
I could have sworn she said my man. I could have sworn she said my man. And I was like, was that supposed to be her boyfriend?
Oh, I missed that if it was. I totally didn't pick up on that.
There was a point when they're all at Lena's. And it was just before Pete got him. And Lena, you know, she said she didn't see it. But anyways, I think that was for the benefit of Raymond.
The aura?
At that point, I could have sworn Lena said, "My man." That puzzled me, so I was like, huh?
When I'm pulling clips, if I hear it, I'll grab the clip. Okay. But I don't remember. But before, you said you think she didn't see Pete's aura because of her boyfriend?
That's what I believe.
I think she didn't see Pete's aura because he doesn't exist.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I think he probably should have got a clue from that. Well, maybe not, because it's kind of a bonkers whole situation.
Yeah.
You wouldn't actually come up with that in your mind. I wondered why Mrs. Frederick left Artie in prison. Earlier, when he was arrested for treason, she got him out of prison and put him in the warehouse. And the bloodstone retrieval, she had to have known was a warehouse mission. So I can't understand why she left him there. I guess McPherson talked her into keeping him head of the warehouse, that he's, you know, he's seen the error in his ways. But I don't understand why she left him in prison.
I don't know. Maybe she thought that he was, for some reason. I mean, you're right. Maybe McPherson said something to her. But once she overheard Pete, you know, something triggered.
She knew something was up. And that's why it was confused, because I didn't know where McPherson stood in this timeline until he said he's been rehabilitated, or he convinced them that he's back on their side. So that's why I found it weird that Mrs. Frederick would leave Artie in prison, who she knows, and put McPherson in the warehouse, who's already gone rogue.
If you do this, James, there'll be no turning back.
What other choice did you give me? You freed Arthur because you trust him more than me.
This is not the most convincing way to win me over.
I did try. I spent 3 years looking for a way to appreciate the work that you and the Regents do.
And?
I couldn't find it.
But, again, the Regents and Mrs. Frederick seem to be fooled pretty easily.
Yeah, or she could have had an inkling, too. You know how some people are always listening and you're just waiting?
Yeah.
And you know something's going to happen. You're not quite too sure. And maybe that's what it was to set things back into perspective.
Right. So Lena, once they all get back to the warehouse, Lena gets on board pretty quickly and gives Artie the necklace. Now, why she was wearing the necklace, unless she was ready for him to show up?
I really believe that they had an idea that this was all going to take place to a certain degree.
I guess, because why would she be wearing that? She doesn't need that necklace. She can go in the warehouse.
I'm figuring that once Artie went to prison, like she said, she could feel somebody, or maybe she was really still feeling McPherson and really didn't say anything. Because sometimes we must be silent and you need to wait it out, and then boom.
We're going to pause right here for a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, Dud Gramley here from Yeah, That Can't Be Good. If you're a fan of Warehouse 13, it is very likely you're also a fan of Eureka, and if you aren't, you should be. Please join Kim, Vicky, Skip, and myself over at Yeah, That Can't Be Good for an episode-by-episode podcast of all things Eureka. You can listen at EurekaRewatch.com on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. I just laughed so hard when Claudia and Artie got into the office, and Artie goes over to those plants that McPherson was sculpting the whole time. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he always loved those plants, and just chops them.
Yeah.
Just to be a baby.
Oh, that was funny. Mm-hmm.
James always loved these damn things. Bonsai, Jimmy.
Again, the first time through, I was wondering why Artie was able to hold the brush. But then the second time through, I heard when he was describing the artifact, I guess if one person touched it and you're in an alternate timeline, anybody else can touch it. It's not going to change anything.
Right.
So that had me confused for a little while.
Mrs. Frederick, he bronzed.
Yeah, no time. Yeah, she'll keep. We gotta go.
They left Mrs. Frederick bronzed for now.
Yeah, she'll be all right. Yeah, and it's true. You might as well have her safe where you know you can go back and retrieve her.
Right.
So it was like, hey. I think she knew that, too.
Listen to me. What's your name? Sandra. Let her go. She knows nothing about all this.
Orders are orders. You should know that, Wiseville.
That's not how I ran this place.
Which is probably why you're about to be bronzed.
Listen, Professor. Artie, thanks for saving me from the slice and dice back there.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I can't help out now. Listen, according to the manual, this isn't supposed to be painful. Yeah, I don't know. Just take a deep breath.
Like I already said, when you're in the bronzer, I don't know if this hurts or not, but you better take a deep breath.
Yeah, because him and Claudia went from Claudia hating him to almost their regular relationship real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole speech that Pete gives when they first get to the warehouse about how they're all family, he's explaining that he's like Claudia's big brother and Micah's like her sister and Artie's more like a father. It's almost to the point of annoying.
Wait, hey,
three of us, we're your family too. I mean, I'm like your big brother, and Mike is like your big sister, and Artie's so much like your dad, it's kind of annoying. And in the real world, we've already rescued Josh. He's at CERN. And the four of us, we work here every day, surrounded by this
endless wonder.
Especially when they came out and looked at the warehouse. I liked that scene because it was just like their opening scene.
Yep.
Because I was like, okay. And I think at one point it was like, okay, this is real.
It almost feels like towards the end, even before they reverse everything, it almost feels like if they weren't able to reverse anything, but still just got rid of McPherson, that everything would be the same anyway.
Right.
I mean, with them, with their relationship and everything. I mean, obviously, Micah's father would still be dead, blah, blah, blah. But it felt like everything would be the same with them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It was a good one. It was just funny at the end when the wonderful life came on and he was like, no.
You know, I used to love that movie, but I think I've seen it so many times that I can't even stand it anymore.
I can even say if I really watched it all the way through ever.
Oh, really?
Give me sure it's not one of my favorite actors.
And now, Frank Capra's classic, It's a Wonderful Life. No!
And then, you know, when he hugs Mrs. Frederick.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. She just looked at him.
Mrs. F, don't worry, I'm not going to hug you, but I am what's keeping you from being bronzed.
Oh, Agent Latimer, please.
Oh, okay. I kind of crossed the line there, didn't I?
And we won't speak of it again.
And we won't speak of it again.
But he sits down with them and has a cookie. I don't think we ever seen that before, right?
No. I'm not sure she was even in the last Christmas episode. I can't remember.
No, I don't believe so. But I mean, as far as all the episodes update now, have we ever seen Miss Frederick have one of those family moments?
No.
She's sitting down eating a cookie.
I don't think we ever saw it, no.
Yeah, so I like that part because it was kind of homey. I mean, it's corn, but it was homey.
It was a cute Christmas episode, yeah. But, you know, I was reading something because I was looking, I forget what I was looking for. I was looking for the name of something in the episode. And I can't remember what it is now. So I was online, I was trying to find the name of it so I didn't have to go and watch the whole episode again. Like, we already talked about, these are kind of standalone episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Because we already know in the last episode, Mrs. Frederick shriveled up. But someone said that this episode should go in front of the episode where Steve gets fired, which is the 40th floor. Because they said that Claudia mentions, I should have gone with Steve. And I didn't hear her say that. So in this episode, he's alive, apparently, and he's still working for the warehouse, but he's just off on his Christmas break.
Oh, yes, she does.
Where is it?
I want to say it's Mike is getting ready to go, and then the blizzard hits. So it's somewhere in there where she talk about she should have went with Steve.
Okay.
Oh, come on, Mrs. F, please.
Absolutely not. When you're older, then you can add schnapps, not before.
How much older do I have to be? It's Christmas.
Should have left with Steve.
Had I thought earlier, we could have placed it where it should have gone in the timeline, but it's too late now.
Yeah, because I kept on saying somewhere along the line, this wasn't placed right.
Because
it should have been placed somewhere else, but I wouldn't have been able to say where it should have been placed, though.
Right. The Eureka Christmas episodes were pretty much standalone. They didn't follow what was going on. And yeah, maybe there were people in there that we hadn't seen or whatever, but it didn't follow anything. But yeah, this one, well, obviously they did it out of order so they could play it at Christmas time, but there usually isn't clues in there as to where it should belong. And this one, if I could find that Steve line, should have gone before Steve was fired. My other question is, last week on Stand, when you were listening to the finished podcast and I told you to pay attention to a clip with H.G. Wells.
Okay.
Again, like I said, when I pull clips, I'm pretty much watching the whole episode again. And I put it in because I was like, oh, okay, that must mean something. Remember at the end when HG gets blown up, she says, I smell apples.
Yes.
Okay, so when I was pulling clips, I came across another scene with her and Katarenga, and he was yelling at her, what do you smell?
And she said,
apples.
And he said, the warehouse likes you.
Exactly. So, do you think that means something? Because she smelled apples at the end?
It could be.
I heard the end thing, and I really didn't pay attention to it. I didn't know what it meant. And then when I was going through to get clips, I found that clip and I was like, oh, that must mean something.
Yeah.
I was wondering if it meant that she'd be coming back.
Yeah, because the warehouse likes her. I believe so.
Yeah, I'm thinking that she's coming back because the warehouse somehow saved her.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, I don't remember. Although I do remember more of this upcoming season, but I don't remember if we see her again.
I'm not sure. We'll see. It might be.
I kind of knew the last time that they took her away that we'd be seeing her again. I was pretty sure we did, but I couldn't remember anything about it. But yeah. I didn't know if this was the last time. But then when I saw that clip, I was like, oh, I bet you they were trying to tell us something.
Yeah. Yeah. Apple, she smiled.
Yeah. Do you have any more notes?
No.
All right. So we will be taking 2 weeks off between seasons. So we'll be back with the fourth season on July 7th. And we'll see you then.
All right. See you then.
Go inside, Bucky.
Oh, Katie. Katie, be careful. Watch out for...
Hey.
What the heck was that? All we did was plug it in.
Yeah, we're from Florida Power. We tracked a surge to this address.
Yes, you had too many lights. One too many, to be exact. But there was a reindeer, a live reindeer in my kitchen.
It escaped. It escaped from the Christmas pageant at the zoo.
The zoo had a pageant?
Well, it was invitation only.
Knock, knock.
Hey, this is Doug Gramley reminding you to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/the13thwarehouse. On Twitter at Eureka Warehouse, on Instagram at Eureka_warehouse, on our website at the13thwarehouse.com or on Podbean. Theme music for the 13th Warehouse, Reflections in the Mirror, provided by Esther Garcia under their standard license. See you next time in the 13th Warehouse.
And now we're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.